So we're starting now the next topic, which the Gemara gets right into after discussing the topic of Bitka Demaya, B'Koch Rishon, B'Chayav, B'Koch Sheni Patr, where then turns to the following case. The Amar of Papa, Zerak Tzor Lemala, the Hochel Etzdadin, the Harga Chayav. So if a person throws up a rock, right, do we say rock? Yeah. A pebble, a rock, and it moves horizontally, not just... meaning he throws it up in horizontal direction. So if it's hoch letzadin, the harga chayv. Amar leir mar Rashi the Rapapa, my time mushim de kochel. Why is it he's chayv in this case? Because it's kochel, right? This is considered kochel gomor. It's zorek chayz. So the Gemara says, is that true? E kochel tezel el. If this were really kochel, it would be going in the direction that you threw it exactly. Meaning, if you threw it say, up and to the side, then it's kochel so long as it's going up. But if it's already starting to go down, so then not so much kocho. Vilat kocho hu tezel tachas. On the other hand, if it weren't kocho, so then it should just fall down immediately, meaning you threw it up and to the side, so it's true that it's no longer going up, but it would just be falling down immediately if not for the fact that you had thrown it in that case. So the Gemara says, elekoch kachoshu. So in this Rashi, this case is defined as being sas kocho yishlo, that it isn't precisely the normal koch. But still reflecting its trajectory, still manifests somewhat the original act that you threw it, and therefore it's still considered to be chayv. It's still considered to be kocho and never chayv. So the clear implication of the Gemara is it's only because it's a studin, but if it apparently went straight down, then indeed it would not be kocho. Meaning if you throw something straight up and it comes straight down, that's not kocho anymore, and therefore you'd be putter. So in terms of kocho, in terms of a statement about that not being kocho anymore, so that has to be assessed against the backdrop of the din of nafla miyado, of davar nafla miyado, right? Just allowing something to fall out of your hand. So we saw that that's a machokas. The Rush and the Rashba, pretty clearly, both consider that to be a kocho or maisa adam, at least as long as it's bechavana, such that, for instance, it'd be then kasher l'shchita, right? If I allow a knife to fall out of my hand, so even though despite the fact that I'm not throwing it or I'm not propelling it, but even just arranging for it to fall out, that itself can be a koch or koko or maisa adam, again, at the very least, if it's bechavana. The Tevuah Shor we saw, however, he understood differently. He understood the Rashba saying that it isn't a maisa adam, or it's not koko, even if it's bechavana, if it's just noko me'ila. Right? That opening your hand, allowing a knife to fall down, let's say, that's already not koko, that's grand bal. So according to the Tevuah Shor, the din here, in the case of Zarek Lamala, and it falls down on its own, in the same trajectory from which it came, so that's no different than Novel Me'atzma. In other words, the din of the Gemara is almost self-evident, because if it's true that just allowing it to fall down, so it makes a lot of sense, and probably even a Kavachomer, then if you throw it up and it falls down, so then it's also not going to be Kocho. Right? In this case, it's not just, right, remember the way the Tevuah Shor explained that din, is that you're just removed yourself from the picture. You're not even contributing anything, you're just removing yourself, and then things happen on their own. So therefore, it's not considered to be kochcha or ma'asecha in the case of davar hanovo miyadav. So if that's true there, so kavachomer here, where in fact, you could say it's not just that you're not contributing anything, you're going the opposite direction. Right? So that seems pretty self-evident, this din of the Gemara. All the Gemara is just saying is making the obvious point, which is, Tzor Lamala isn't any better than letting go. According to the Rishonim, however, according to the Rush and Rashba, the Gemara here is coming to be Mechadish, that there's a chiluk between these cases. In the Fila Me'atzma, just allowing it to fall down is viewed as kocho, but if you were to throw it up and having it fall down directly, so that isn't kocho. And the point is that in the Fila Me'atzma can be considered a kocho mikocho shel adam, despite the fact that on some level you're not propelling it, it's Me'atzma, no fell. But it can still be incorporated as part of kocho shel adam, but only because, or not when, the direction of the nefila is going contravening your act. Right? When the direction of the nefila, this is the chiddush of the Gemara, according to the Rishonim, when the nefila me'atzma is actually going in the opposite direction of what you did, you threw it up, it's coming down, so then that's not considered to be kocho shel adam, despite the fact that if I were to just let it go, just even though it's, again, dropping on its own, you could say, but as long as you're working sort of in concert with it, that can be viewed as being incorporated into kochcha and being defined as koch gavra. But if it's hevech ma'asecha, so then not. Okay. So that's as far as what we'll call pure cocoa, or straight cocoa, is concerned. Now, this isn't cocoa when it comes straight down, right? Again, the case we're dealing with is a case which the Gemara just simply doesn't discuss, but implies, which is that if I throw it up and it comes straight down, without moving off to the sides at all. So the Gemara says, the Gemara implies clearly that case you're putter because it's grown bowel. So that it's not cocoa, fine. That we just discussed. But here the Rishonim raise a serious question, a very serious question, which is, granted, this isn't defined as being pure cocoa or straight cocoa. It's not halachic cocoa in that sense because it's nofa me'ela. But why is it in chai midin eshav mishum chitzav? So the background to this, the question of the Tosos, is the din, the discussion of the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Chaf Bet, where there presents machlokas amoraim, Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, regarding the chiyuv of esh. A person lights a fire, the wind comes and sweeps it along into somebody's field, and it burns the field, so the Torah says you're chayiv in that case. So the question that the, so it's an avamazik, it's one of the avos nezikin. So the question the Gemara presents is, how do we understand this chiyuv? Do we say esho mishum chitzav, or esho mishum amono? Basically, the question seems to be, do we view Adam, do we view Eish as another instance of Mamono Shezik? You're responsible for property. You're not getting to the certain basic alumnus questions regarding the Sotos Nizekimama, but the basic idea being you're responsible for these, at the very least, whether or not you're responsible to be Shomer, and then in the absence of Shomer, you become Chayiv, or you're just simply the person who is charged with responsibility for whatever happens. Either way, you have different, various avos nezikin where you are charged with mamon shehizik. So shor, bor, shor itself is keren shem beregel. So in addition, you also have esh. Esh is also niske mamon. Or no, we view this as sort of an offshoot, a branch of adam mamazik. Right, a person is chayiv if he is mazik. So the Torah is being mechayiv esh as an instance of adam mamazik. We view it as if you had thrown it yourself. That seems to be the Gemara's discussion. So the Gemara presents the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and in the course of investigating this this question, again, the question being whether or not it's another category of Niske Mamon or sort of an offshoot of Adam Mazik, the Gemara, several nafkaminas emerges from the Gemara's discussion of it. Just to give you a sense of what we're talking about here. So the one is the Gemara says, I'm just giving you a couple. The Gemara implies that there's a following nafkamina. Let's say I light a fire, and then the ruach comes and sweeps it over to a stack of wheat, let's say, and an eved, person who is bound next to the wheat. So in that case, the Gemara says, if you hold esho mishum amono, so then you're going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv b'tashlumin, right? For the one second. But the Gemara quotes a Braitha, which discusses a little bit, it has another complicated factor. Just Hamadli gets a gadish by a di kapuslo ve'evit samachlo v'nitzav bimo chayev evit kapus. That's not our issue. Evit kapuslo, we actually, that is our issue from a while ago. You guys remember that, didn't? Right? Okay. But we're discussing now the other part. Evit kapuslo. Let's say the evit is kapus v'kedi samachlo v'nitzav bimo pater. So the case there is where I lit a fire, and there was presumably a ruach that took the fire and consumed the fire, therefore consumed the person and the property. So the Gemara says, in that case, you're poter if it's evid kapos, because at that point there's no poter of hayelo hatzelfon, right? So the why are you poter? So clearly midin kumel d'rabine. So the Gemara says this makes sense if you hold esha mishum chitza. Then we say kumel d'rabine because we view it as if you threw the fire upon this person, so therefore it's chitzav, and therefore gimichayev, it seems gimichayev is going to be chayev nisa, or if not chayev nisa, but at least tan vechizkia, so it'll be kumad rabine, and therefore it'll be pater on tashulman for the gadish and for the gedi. But if, or for the gadish, because the gedi could run away, that's part of the machlokas actually, they're shown there. But if you hold esha mishim amono, so the way the Gemara phrases it is, Am I putter? So it's praised as a kasha on the, as I said, the Gemara is investigating this. So this is, the Gemara poses as a kasha in Rish Lakish. Am I putter? Ilu katal ture abda achinami de lo mechayev? Right? If your shore had done this, would you say that you're not chayev there? Obviously you're chayev because there's no mitzicha to be discussing here. It's just a chiyuv nezek of niski mama. So the Gemara said, so the Gemara responds, even Rish Lakish can explain it because what, according to Rish Lakish, he'll just have to say that the din is talking about a case where you actually brought the fire yourself over to the Eved. So that's what it's discussing. Okay. So that's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina the Gemara presents is the very possibility, or the very viability of a Ptur Tamid. The Gemara assumes that if Esha Mishim Amono, so then you can understand very well what a Ptur Tamid is doing, or how you can get it, how you can have a Ptur Tamid. But if Esha Mishim Chitzav, the Gemara says it's impossible. You can't have can't have Ptur Tamun. Tamun is just things which are hidden, right? The Gemara derives it from Psukim, it's not common. So things which are hidden, which are covered, are Pater in the case of Esh. So the Gemara says, if it's Esha Mishim Mamono, I understand that. But if it's Adam Mazik, I don't. Why not? So Rashi presents two basic approaches. The second one is very strange. Rashi himself says, I don't hear that. I think that's his Lashon, is, below... in Ishomeya, something like that. He says, "Below Shemati." Yes, so he says, "This is Rashi's second parish." Hi, Chetz Olam B'Taman Hu Nichnas Umazik Below Shemati. That doesn't make any sense. That was one explanation that he heard, that if you hold Eishem Shem Chitzav, so Chetz, there is no such thing as Taman with regard to a Chetz. So that's very strange. Probably not what it means. What all the Rishonim explain it, what it means is that, and here I'm explaining something which I think could be understood itself in different ways, but the basic point is if you have Adam Mazik, there are no Chiv, there are no Pturim. Adam is Chai, Bein Odnes, Bein Ratzim, Bein Shogeg, Bein Mezi, etc. We have Pturim. Pturim makes sense in the context of Niske Mama. Without getting into why and how to understand them, but you have, everybody's got their Ptur. You have Shem, Regel, Shesarabim. Bor Kalu, right? Karen is Chatzin Ezek, and Eish, which is another category of Niskamon Taman. But if you say if it's Adam Mazik, so Adam Mazik doesn't have Keturim. That's a simple way to understand that. There's more nuance at it specifically because you understand Taman is a kind of an anus, and then it's not just that we don't find Keturim, it's that we find an Yischai anus. That's another way to formulate it, which some Rishonim seem to go. But either way, the way the Tosaf explains it is a simpler way, which is this is just ain't svar lidrosh. If it's eshem shem chitzav, then there's no svar to say that we should be able to find a ptur because lo matzin. Okay, so the Gemara, and therefore the Gemara says this is therefore a kasha on Reish Lakish on Rabbi Yochanan, right? If eshem shem chitzav, how do you have a ptur tamim? We know we have a ptur tamim because the Torah says. So the Gemara answers that b'pashas this is how Rabbi Yochanan understood it, and this is going to be significant. We'll come back to it. The Gemara says, in response to this, right, the Gemara had asked this on Chaf Gimel. Eshem Shem Chitza, Tamim Be'esh, the Madamar, Eshem Shem Chitza, Tamim Be'esh, the Pater Achmana, Hechim Shkatasla, how can it be? The Gemara answers, V'nich, like, Yigon Shenafla Tleika, Lo'osa Chatzer, V'nafla Geder Shlema Chasleika. We saw this in what context? Anybody, I'll be impressive if anybody remembers. Right, that what happened? I lit a fire, there was a fence. Then the fence falls down, Shlema Chasleika. Yeah. We consider the possibility. We wondered whether or not this is an example, or this is the same idea as Piskei Gerei, Masilatris. Right, exactly. So it's so the Gemara says that in this case where it was no fellas Shalom Achlasat Leika. So then in that case, Kalei Chitzav. So the Gemara says Kalei Chitzav, but then also Kalei Mamon. I mean, what are you talking about, Kalei Chitzav? Why should it be Chai? I'm sorry, not. The Gemara says, if it's Kalei Chitzav, then why is he Chayav at all beyond the fence? In other words, why is he Chayav Begaloi? So the Gemara answers, Hasam Kalei Chitzav. Ihachi, the Gemara says, Le'inyan Galoi Nami Kalei Chitzav. Right? If you're telling me Yeshus Chayav Mishim Chitzav, and there's no longer Chitzav, so why are you Chayav for Galoi either? So the Gemara, this is according to Robishon. Where the Gemara understood this, the Gemara's response was, Elo the Mad Islay Mishim Chitzav Islay Minam Mishim Amano, meaning, which what that means is that the Rabbi Yochanan holds Eshem Mishim Chitzav, holds that in addition to Eshem Mishim Amono, And then, in fact, you can have a case of Eishem Mishumano, according to Rabbi Yochanan, where it's Kala Lechitzav, namely this case of Geder, and therefore the case of the Patur Taman, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is specifically in a case where the Kala Lechitzav, you still have a mono, right? Namely this case of Nafla HaGeder. Okay? So, according to what emerges then is that according to the Mandamar that Eishem Mishum Chitzav, so you're not going to have a Patur Taman wherever it is you have Chitzav. Okay? Whereas according to Yochanan, according to Rishlakish, you're chayev wherever you're chayev for Eish, you're putter on top. And then the Gemara presents an additional nafkamina after sort of a strange discussion. The Gemara, I'll just mention this now, and we'll come to it later. But the Gemara says if it's true that he also is nami isle nami shibamono, so then what's the nafkamina? Which the Rishonim are very bothered by. What happened to all the things we just said? Most of them just say nami. It's not lafuki all those other things. It's in addition lechayva bar bedvarim. So the nafkamina the Gemara really does settle on is that if you hold Eishem Mishum Chitzav, so then you're going to be chayev arba dvar. What's this based on? Whereas if you hold Eishem Mishum Mono, not. Where does that come from? So we know that chobah b'chavero, adam shehizik chavero, is chayev chamish dvarim, dal dvarim. Right? Not only nezek, but also tsar, rikwa, shevis, and boshes. But when it comes to mamon hamazik, if my shore is mazik in adam, so then no. Then you're only chayev nezek. How do we know that? So you could have said, well, just because the Gemara... Why do we think otherwise? But the Gemara actually in Daf Lamed Gimel presents two possibilities, two makoros for this. One, this is on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. One is that is the drasha of the Rabbanan, Kimishpat Azeh Yaselo. So the Gemara takes that to mean Kimishpat Shor. Right when the pasuk says about a Shor, this is in the context of the pasuk of the Shor Haniskal. So Kimishpat Shor Yaselo, Kimishpat. Hazeh Yaselo, so the Gemara takes this to mean that when he, when he damages somebody, Kimish Bashor Bashor, Kach Shor Ba'adam, which Rabbanan take to mean that he's Pater Bidal Tvar. In other words, we're to be Mechayev, the Shor Bashor, the Shor Ba'adam, just like we're Mechayev Shor Bashor, meaning there's no Chiyav Arba Tvar. Rabbi Kiva has a different drasha, much more simple. The pasuk says ish b'amisel, below shor b'amisel. So there's no chiyuv for dal dvarim for niski mamon. So the Gemara says that if you hold eishem mishum chitzav, so it's adam amazik. We view it as your chait. So then you're going to be chayv dal dvarim. Whereas you hold eishem mishum mono, you're putter. Okay. So fast forwarding back to us now. So if you hold eishem mishum chitzav, so the question becomes, what are you saying then? You're saying that if you can have koach achar murbo. And still be defined as viewing it as if you threw it. So this is true not only about Eish, it's also true about what? The Toledos of Eish, right? Namely, Avno Sakino Masao, Sheinichem Barosh Bego, right? The Gemara Darshan's, when we say the defining feature of the Av of Eish is Kohach Murbo. So it's a Tekala where you place it, you simply place it, and then some other Kohach comes and sweeps it along and damages. So that's what defines. Eish, and therefore Avno Sakino Masao Sheherinichem Barosh Gago. If you put it on a precipice, so then if it's given to being swept along by a normal wind, a Ruchmatziya, so that's Chayiv Mishum Eish. So how can this be any better? Here he's throwing it up, and it's coming right back down. So is that any worse than Eish Mishum Chitzav? Than the case of Avno Sakino Masao Sheherinichem Barosh Gago? Right, this is Tosa's question here. Tosa's question in older Shon Masses, right? Okay, so before we get there. Alright, so that's the question to ask. Why is this different than why isn't this Chayiv Mishum Eish Mishum Chitzav? So here there are essentially five answers that we'll see. Four of them are given in Rishonim, one of them will just is based on Rishonim, but I didn't see anybody actually bring it out to bear here. And the first three are sort of more technical, important, but not as they don't cut to some of the core issues regarding Eishem Mishum Chitzav. The last two do. So let's take it one by one. So first, the Tosos. The Tosos say, this is at least until the final line in Tosos here. What's their response, Shua?
It's only the Mandal on Eishem Mishum Chitzav.
Only the Mandal Amar
Eishem Mishum Mamono.
Mamono. And it was basically Inachinami. Zorik Tzor Lamala is Chayiv, Lahalacha. I mean, we should know, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan. So Lahalacha tells us to believe that Zorik Tzor Lamala, even if it's not Tzadim, it's Chayiv, because even though in that case we say that his pure Kocho, the straight Kocho, has been is Pasak, but it's Logara, Eshemeshem Chitav. It's just like you put a rock on the roof and the wind blew it along. So Nechanami, Lahalacha, Eshemeshem Chitav, you are Chayiv Ritzicha because of this, in this case. Now, this is the simplest answer, sort of mitzvah svara, but obviously textually more difficult. I mean, Gemara doesn't mention anything about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish here. Moreover, the Tosfos applies this strategy in other contexts, which we'll come back to just in terms of analyzing it, but the Tosfos applies this strategy in other places regarding other dinim where it's even more textually radical. The Mishnah Chulin, we saw this, said that if a person drops a knife, or if a person nafla sakin, so Shchidas Psula, because you need Mashta Zavech Ata Ochel. Right, you need Koch Gavri, you need Maisadu. So the question Tosfos ask is, what are we talking about here? So at worst, we're talking about you have it in your hand and the Ruach comes in and blows it along. That's the assumption, right? So if that's true, so why shouldn't it be a Kasha Shchita if you hold HM Shchita? And they say, and a Chinami. That Mishnah is only Aliba, is only the Bidurish Lakish, only Mandam Ishma Shabana. That's a very radical thing to do. Meaning, according to the Tosas, that Mishnah is Shalok Halacha. Right, this is the Tosas here. The Gemara had said that if it's nafla, but if it's a pila, so kshera. So the Gemara says, kasha nafla, so the Tosfos say, kasha nafla nami lahavi ki pila, lemadam reshu shem chitza. So they say, nechinami. So I'll have to come back to that. We already know that the Rashi himself, the Rashi thought that the nafla actually miyado is actually kasher. Straight Kocho, and therefore the way he interpreted the Mishnah was, who remembers? How did the Rashi interpret the Mishnah when it says Nafla, Ha'ipila? So what does Nafla mean according to him? Aider Ruach. That was how the Rashi interpreted it. It's pretty evident, this doesn't say this explicitly, but it's evident, Tosfos, at least at that stage, that he's understanding Aider Ruach is also Kasher. Because that whole Mishnah is Shalo, Libidilchasa, since it's all the Mandamari Shemeshwitz. Now, just in terms of our context, Ritzicha, so Tosos, you should know, Tosos expands the implication of Eshem Shem Chitzav in Ritzicha to other cases, beyond Zarek Tzor Lamala. Introduces Chiyuvim that we didn't know of until now. First is that, and primarily, the Chiyuv, he thinks that you're Chayiv in the case of Sof Chama Lavo, old topic, right? Where have you Lusham, right? So the Gemara had said that, person, if I were to just be Mitzamtzim, I tie down somebody in the heat of the sun, and he dies from that, so you're chayav. But if you tie him down in night time, and then the heat of the sun comes, so at a time when there's no sun, so chamalavo, pater. So it says you should know that's only true if he was already there and you just tied him down. But if you bring him there, you're going to be chayav, and not midin mitzamtzim. But midin, this is what I mentioned, some people were asking about it, this is a few months ago now. I said, we'll get to that when you get to Shemachitza. Midin eshem Shemachitza. Now, here there's a couple of additional assumptions in Tosfos, just as far as this is concerned, and I should note that other Rishonim don't seem to agree with this. Rambam doesn't say anything about if there being a tour, a chiyuv if you're a mevi'u l'sham, in the case of Sof Chama Lavo. Tosfos assumes, first of all, but that could be for other reasons too, meaning it could be for reasons that don't have to do particularly with this case, but either way, Tosfos, in terms of expanding into this case, there's a couple of other assumptions here. One is that a Mekar Dover Eitzel Eish is assuming is Chayav Mishum Eish. Right, we saw, where do we know that it's that Mekar V'davar Eitzel Eish is Chayav? So it points you to the Gemara in Nun Vav and Bavakama, right, that the Gemara had said, is the case of Kovim Kamasa Shechavero, Bifnei Adleika, so the Gemara interpreted as pushing the grain of somebody else's, pushing somebody's grain in front of an oncoming fire. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? And it says, you're Pater, in that case. You're Pater B'dinei Adam, you're Chayav Din Shemayim. So the Gemara says, what case here are you putter for? If you're talking about a ruach, that the Eish is Holeches B'ruach Mitzuya, so then B'dinei Adam Nami L'chayev. Should also be Chayev B'dinei Adam. It says it must be that it's a Ruach Shani Mitzuya. So it's a rule from Sibidin Adam Nam Min Chayes. Tosus is assuming that Chiyuv is Mishum Ish. First of all, that's the first assumption here. As opposed to it being Chayev either Midin Adam Amazik or Midin Garmi. If it were one of those two, so then one could wonder whether or not it'll be Chayev Beretzicha, that case, right? In other words, the case, let's say I tie somebody down in the path of an oncoming fire, but either you would be Chayev or you wouldn't be Chayev, it certainly wouldn't depend on Eishim Mishim Chitza versus Eishim Mishim Mono, whereas Tosas thinks that this does. Tosas assume that that case is Chayev Mishim Eish. That's first of all. Second of all, you assume that it's Chayev Mishim Eishim Mishim Chitza. That is not obvious either. Noted that that the Rabbi Yochanan also Nami Yisrael Mishum Mono, and happens to be the Tosos says that this din, the chiyuv in that case, in the Gemara, is not dependent on Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish. Meaning, Rish Lakish is mechayev, and he says in that case is chayev Mishum Mono according to Rish Lakish. So if that's the case, so then you could have said that even if it's true that Eishu Mishum that Mekarav Davar Eitzal Eish is chayev Midin Eish, but it's not the Eishu Mishum Chitza. How can you be viewed as throwing the Eish in that case? This is the right, but the Tosas makes clear that even Karev Davar Yitzal Eish for Rish Lakish, that's also Chayiv, and it's Chayiv Midin Eish. Eish Mishim Mono. So one could have said, fine, Rabbi Yochanan also is only Chayiv Mishim Mono. If that were the case, then you'd be Pater Bersicha, in other words, for putting a person in the path of a fire. You're Chayiv if it's Nezek, but only because of Eish Mishim Mono, not Mishim Eish Mishim Fit. So those two assumptions are required in order to get to the conclusion, which Tosas evidently held, that if I put a person in the path of an oncoming fire, so I'm chayev retzicha in that case. But then Tosas also, just in terms of expanding that, so Chamalavo also has an additional assumption, which is that there's no room to be mechalik between being mekarev a dover, being mekarev a person in the path of an eish, and bringing him to a place where so Chamalavo. Who do we see? This is again a long time ago. Who challenges? Who did not agree with that? Who thought that Yesh HaChalik between these two things? Tosas Rid. Bava Kama there said that Yesh HaChalik between an Eish, which is Sorif Miyad, remember, he connected that to the fact that in the case of Eish, it's Miyad, it works Miyad. In the case of Sof Chamalavo, Chama works, it's Be'ichor Gadol. We discussed then how to understand it, but the point is, Yesh HaChalik between putting something in the path of an ongoing fire and putting him in a place where Sof Chamalavo. But either way, Tosos says, at least at this point, that there is no, he doesn't see that chiluk, and therefore it follows according to these assumptions that Eishu Mishum Chitza, you're going to be chayev for Sof Chamalavo, again, not midin some mitzamtzim where maybe Yolasham, not midin mitzamtzim, but midin Eishu Mishum Chitza. So that's an additional point. The Tosos thinks that Eishu Mishum Chitza has that bearing upon our parrot. Now, given Tosos' assumptions, as opposed to other Rishonim, which we'll see, it isn't so clear. About what's not so clear is a different case, namely the case we just saw. Why isn't that chayiv midin eishim mishum chitza? Let's say, granted that it's pasak kocho in the case of koach sheni, but why isn't it at the very least eishim mishum chitza? So the truth is that Tosas addresses this case, and he says that it's not chayiv in this case, but he's only addressing it from a particular perspective, meaning from his issue. Right, Tosas says, should we saw this?
I'm not sure.
Do you see the first Tosas there? And Tosas said, here, he says, Vahid Ashkel Alei, so right after establishing that according to him, your chayav for sof chamalavo for maybe losham midin eishim mishum chitza. He says vahi the ashki olay bitka demaya the besamuch. I think besamuch means like it's going to come up soon. Afilu kafto vehevi losham v'achakach ashkiel, which is Gemara is pretty clear. It says kafto, you know, that the man the kafto lechavri. In theory, I guess Tosas said chenami there too, but he doesn't. So he assumes that even if you bring him there and tie him down, you're going to be putter. Vahi, right, so what's the reason? The reason is because Pater de Damiel Zar Chaitz Vitris Biado. Tafilu Hu Kidim Vesilko Pater. Says that that case is Pater because it's somehow it's Dumya de Silotris, where, in other words, just think about it for a second. We're saying it's true that you were Masalik the Tris, but even if you were Masalik the Tris, the Siluka Tris doesn't, you know, what's he addressing? How is that an answer to the question? He's addressing the question of why you're not Chayev Midin Mikarev Dabar Hitzal Ha'esh. Meaning, why are you not Chayev as like the Masalik is not Chayev? So that's his answer. In other words, he's asking, given that you're Chayev for being Kofis person in B'makam Shesof Kamalavo, why aren't you Chayev for being Kofis a person in B'makam of the Mayim? So his answer is, because that's not really similar, that somehow it's more similar to being Masalik Atris. Meaning you're exposing somebody in that case to something which is going to be coming, but not in a way that you can be Chayev for. It's not the sort of... Meaning you require another pu'ula in order to have the damage come upon you. So kamalavo is specifically where you have no such need for another pu'ula. It's something which is inevitable. The sun is going to come, right? As following, nobody else is to do anything in order to bring the damage, the agent upon you. So that's the basic idea. Again, it's not similar to tris in any more particular way than that. It's just that, just like the masalik tris is putter, and the reason, I guess, is because, he's saying, because you weren't the one who did the damage, after all, somebody else's pu'ula was required there. So to here, you didn't do the damage, somebody else's pu'ula was required. Even if it was your pu'ula, you can ask about that, but the point is you're not going to be chayev else the kvita. Fine, so it's not obvious what he's saying, but at the very least you can understand it as far as the kvita is concerned. But the Tosfos doesn't address the question about, okay, so forget being chayev midin mekarev hadavar etzal esh, midin meaning kofes the person b'mako. Why aren't you chayev for being the poter hamayim? Midin eshem eshem chitzav. So it's just strange. Tosfos didn't even address that question. You guys following that? Are you following? I mean, Tosfos is addressing the question, given that I think, says Tosfos, that mitzamtzem, that mekariv hadavar etzal esh, mekariv ha'adam etzal ha koach, it's chayev midin eshem eshem chitzav, where you're kofes, and then it comes along, so why aren't you chayev then for being kofes the person b'makom of bitka d'mayin? His answer, even though he's not explicit about it, I think, is because you're only chayav for the mekar dover eitzal esh if it's coming inevitably, but if it requires some other action, so then no, then it's like silotris. Fine, okay, but now what he didn't address is why aren't you chayav as the poter hamayim, as the mekar eish eitzal dover? So I think you have to say one of two things. We'll see, this question does not emerge according to other Rishonim's answer for Zorak Tolamal. It does emerge for Tosfos, and he doesn't address it. So I think you can answer one of two ways. The first is to say, and this works if we assume, again, that as far as Koch Sheni is concerned, that Koch Sheni means Kiluach Sheni, and that this din of Koch Sheni is limited to Asar Samoneya, but if, let's say, you were to push over a barrel of water, you'd be chayav even the Kiluach Sheni. So then we can answer that as follows, that it's only considered to be Eshem Eshem Chitzav where you didn't act upon the implement in question, let's say, such as placing the Evan or the Sakin or the Masa upon the roof. And then the Ruach came along and swept it along. So then you can view it as if you threw it. But if you in the absence of an act upon the chayfetz in question, then we're not going to say that this is viewed as, we're not going to be mitzarif the koach, which moves that object. And they say that here, in this context of bitka de maya, so the person has acted upon the mayim that are smuchim to the me'akev. But the mayim hashneim, the kiruach hasheni, so that you haven't acted upon, that you haven't touched at all. Right, this is reminiscent of what? This is harkening back to what? The Mara Chazarua, right? The Levush, the Magen Avram, the Ramah. They were discussing the context of straight kocho, pure kocho. But one could argue that the same thing will apply. The same, that fact is true. It has implications for Eshav Shechitzav as well. If you're not considered to be doing a Maisa, the goof of the implement, namely, in this case, the Mayim Hashniim, so then it's not a candidate for being Eshav Shechitzav, if you will. So that could be an answer. Alternatively, I think one could argue, one can lean on the model of the Rashba, In Basra, regarding the case of rocks of the Gemara, there it discussed the case where you either shake or you beat some sort of rug, and flax flies into the air. So the Gemara says that in that case, the flax, the roksa, will be, you'll be putter for it because it's only grown. So the Rishonim are bothered by the fact that why is it not a shemeshim chitzav in this case? Right? So this is Gemara Bava Basra. Achabav. Remember, the Gemara says that. Right, this is the Gemara that says. Havazo Raksa. One second. If you have a Nafsi Kidna, Havazo Raksa, right? Azli Kidna. Nafsi Kidna means that he was beating, I guess, the rug, and the pieces of flax or whatever, the material would fly in the air. Maski Inchi. Oh, so the Kami de Ravina, this actually is a Maisa de Haba. Right, so they came to Ravina, they said, well, I want money here. Amar Luhu, Kiamina Mother Rios, Gary Delay, Honey Milay. Says, when Rios says Gary Delay, that in that Gemara in Loyach, where it's a significant issue, so he thought that was the basis to be Mechayiv in this case. Honey Milay, the cause of Limikoch. Acha Zikuhu de Kamantila. Here, it's not as Limikoch. So the Rishonim bothered, okay, what about, what happened to. How is it worse than Eshem Shem Chitzav? I'm sorry, how is it worse than Avinu Sekinu Masa Shinichem Rosh Vigo? This is not even, this is not even a Chitzav question. This is just, why is it in Eshem? So here you have two different answers. The Rashba and Rabbi Yonah say as follows. That the reason is because they're Mechadish, that in order to be considered Chayiv Mishem Esh, again, Ladaka Mishem Chitzav, any Esh, has to be that your act itself was responsible for the tekala, for the creation of the tekala. You created and put a mazik in place, and the only thing that the ruach does is it actually transports it. But if the ruach itself is what creates the mazik, so then there's no din of esha. And he says that in this context, in the context of raksa, that raksa itself is a benign sort of thing. It's just pieces of materials. It's not like a sucking or a rock or an ish. It's just materials. What makes it dangerous is the ruach. So fine. So the ruach is responsible for the mazik. In that case, you don't have the chiyuv mishamesh. Right. This is the Rashba. He's more clear than Rabbi Yonah, but it's quite evident this is what Rabbi Yonah has in mind. He says in tomar ma'ishna me'esho v'avno sakino shenicham brosh gago v'nachal ruach mitzuy dechayev av agav diikah koach acher murabo. Hey, Rosh Mori Harav, this is Rabbi Yonah, the Shani Hassam, the Mamono Mamash, who the Mazik, Sheha Eishi Shemazekes, Shesarefes. The truth is that he already points out that the Rabbi Yonah has Mimenu, could be Mimenu, and he points out correctly also that you can read it both ways, even though they mean different things, but the overall idea is the same. Mimenu, who the Mazik, Sheha Eishi Shemazekes, Shesarefes, Vachen Kovet Ha'eved, Vasakin Hin Shemazikin. Right, so it's the ruach which is really doing the mazik. In other words, if the ruach is creating the mazik, so then already you're not going to be chayiv. And that's also related to the sugya of liba v'lipsa ruach, that the Gemara has at least one amora saying that you're not going to be chayiv in the case where the ruach fanned the flames, so it created the fire. The idea being that in that case, your pa'ula didn't result in a mazik, therefore you're not going to be responsible for whatever happens afterwards, despite the fact that if you had created a mazik or put it in a place which is a precarious place and the ruach just transported it, you would be responsible for it. Right, that's the Rashba's understanding of raksa. So maybe you could argue, I don't know if this makes sense, but maybe you could argue that in the case of mayim, also, that's what you have. That the mayim, perhaps the mayim, even whether stationary or perhaps even running on its own, isn't really considered an inherent tekala or a mazik to the extent that you would be that in somehow opening it up here, you would be responsible for a hanachas tekala, which would then be chayiv. What makes this dangerous is perhaps, I'm not even sure if it's, it might even be less than that, because you might say that even with the Ruach, it's not, even with the gravity in this case, it's not a mazik. What makes it dangerous is simply the fact, you might argue, that there's a duration. It's not exactly clear how he's dying in the case of Yashka B'Kedemaya, but if it's drowning, it's presumably requiring a certain duration. So in that case, you're just not going to be chayav, because you haven't been meniach at the kala at all. Okay. So in other words, you could be chayav if you were, in fact, being the one who's moving it, and that's what actually kills him. It's kocho mamish, if it's pure kocho, straight kocho. But if not going to be straight kocho, you're not going to be chayav mishum mishum chitza, because it's not really the kind of thing which it's merely a kol hacham urav in the color that you put there. You don't have that here. Maybe that's the answer. Okay. Either way, other Rishonim disagree with this. They think that this is not correct, that you're, in fact, you are putter. The Gemara is not just the Amar Eishim Mishum Mano, it's in fact Libid Hochasa, so even Lamanda Eishim Mishum Chitzav, but you're putter here. And the question again is why? What's the Chilek? So the first two responses to this are more narrow. The first, and they don't, you know, they don't really involve fundamentally Yesodos of Eishim Mishum Chitzav, even though they're important in their own right. First is the Reina David, who has a very, very striking answer. Right? The Chilek is what? It's between Kochos. There's a difference between Ruach and Tsuya and gravity. He doesn't say gravity. He says, describes it as, I think, something which is no fome atzmo, but it's gravity. Right? And he says that gravity is not something which is not a candidate for the kind of koch acher that can be viewed as mu'urav, that can be viewed as something which a person is sort of co-ops and is responsible for. Now, this obviously is extremely counterintuitive. Why not? Anything, it should be even more. It's something which is even more anticipatable. It's something which is even more consistent. Why shouldn't koach acher be something which is... why shouldn't koach mashicha be something which is subject to koach acher murubo? So his response, I think he gives a clear answer to this question. I've heard people say that this is somehow, you know, embedded in this is a certain understanding of gravity. I don't see that. I don't think it has anything to do with how you understand the physical phenomenon of gravity. If you go with Aristotelian understanding or Einsteinian or Newtonian, I don't think anything that matters for this. Because the point is that what he points to isn't related to any of that. He just says, at least the way I understand it, this is the way the Rebbe David says it. Tirtzu was that the ein chiyuv nezikin ela bekoach ubepoa loba meshenasa. The ruach mitzuya poelasi v'ro'ono sakilu haya b'koach adam ha'idei shehi mitzuya aval ha'yirida lamata imba poel klal elo shemachmas kveda hiyoredes. So in that case, machmas kveda hiyoredes, even then I don't think that's a description, it's just a factor. It has to do with the kovet of the item. That's what makes it fall down. I mean, it's gravity, but gravity has to act upon something which has weight, which has mass, rather. But either way, v'afim hargu the Yeridas alone says that befoal. El kovad even who shehizik me'elav kenkas Rabbi David b'shem Rabbi Sof b'alei Tosfos. So what does this mean? So I think he's saying something. What I think I understand him to be saying is as follows: that the idea is that you can only view what he's claiming is you can only view a person as authoring the totsah of a koach acher if that koach acher itself bears some affinity to koach adam. Now, the chiddush of Eishim Shechitzav is that we view the koach acher as if you were doing it, as if it's your koach. But, he says, that's only possible if koach acher bears some resemblance to the koach adam. And Rabbi Nadav contends that koach ha-mashicha or koach ha-nefila me'atzma, koach ha-eben she-yored me'kobdo, doesn't bear that resemblance to koach ha-adam. In particular, koach adam is something which is defined by its being variable and volatile and intermittent. It expresses itself in a burst of activity. It's koach and poach, something which stops and starts. So the ruach has those characteristics as well, but the koach ha-mashicha, or the koach even me'atzma, does not. It is sort of a constant, latent, sort of unchanging force. There's no burst of activity, and therefore you cannot see the person, we do not view the person as being an agent behind it. Things that a koach like that achieves or does cannot be attributed to a person as if he were the agent behind it. Now, again, I think it is counterintuitive that Sacha Kol, you're saying that a ruach we view as if you did it, but if something just falls down on its own, not. But nonetheless, I'm pretty sure, I think that's what he's saying, that It has to do with the fact that we need a certain affinity, and particularly the way he thought you needed it to be to resemble Kol Chazim. It has to be the Kol Chazim, but Poel, something which is volatile, which changes, and not something which is sort of just an unchanging latent force. Now, I have to confess that I don't understand at all the Ron's cautious against this. I think I understand what bothered him, that this doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, something which is that mitzkabal does. But I don't understand his rias at all. He goes on to ask on this, he thinks he can disprove this point. He says, Vani omer di'ika terutza lesa, shemash him omrim she'in chiyuv al nazikin el b'kachu b'fal, lobo meshenase mela, So he says, I don't understand that. If according to Rabbi David, so why shouldn't the Ari be chayav? What's he referring to? He's referring to the din that we saw in the daf before, that regarding Midin Mitzamtzim, most of Shonam understood this din, perhaps Midin Mitzamtzim, that a person, that if I were to tie him before, let's say, mosquitoes, the Gemara says, Yidchayev, but if it's before an hour, you'd be putter. So he says, I don't understand. If you're telling me what you're telling me, Rabbi Nadavid, so why is it an Ari Chayev? Ein lecham poel yoser gadol mizeh. So I really don't understand the question. I mean, Rabbi Nadavid seems to be saying, Ron's question seems to assume that not only is Rabbi Nadavid saying, not only is it a necessary condition that it bear resemblance in this way, but it's also a sufficient condition. Right? That the only thing you need is Kachu Poel. You need that, but that's all you need. And therefore, if it's true, so then how do you have the Ptur in the case of Ari? Now, I think it's quite clear Rabbi Nadavid never said anything about being sufficient. Could be other reasons, other things that you need as well to be a candidate for Kachu Murabo. So the Ron seems to intuit that, and he says v'chitema de lo dami ahadadi mishum da'ari adaita d'nafshe ka'achil mishum achi pater. So he introduces a reason why you be pater, and it's important. We'll get to that and do the sugya of hishik nachash. Maybe you'll say you can't be mechayev for koach acher of an ari because after all it's a separate, it's an agent on its own in its own right. Adaita d'nafshe ka'achil mishum achi pater. Of all roch mitzuya he b'teva or b'teva, and therefore you can. Then the question is, if you're going to tell me, he says, that the Ari isn't Mitzurah because it's not Beteva, it's his own agent, so then how is it you're going to tell me that the most natural force, the force of gravity, that's not something which you can be mitzarif? So again, I just don't understand this run. It seems to me pretty obvious. Rabbi David's saying you need at least two. There's two necessary conditions at least for koach acher to be capable, to be the kind of koach which is capable of being subsumed or attributed to a person as an agent in the nation of shochita. One is that he's saying the koach acher has to bear some resemblance to koach adam, and particularly in that it expresses itself in bursts, in intermittent starts and stops. And two, it also can't be that the koach acher is something which is held or possessed by some other autonomous agent. If it is held by some other autonomous agent, then it's not going to be mitzuraf to this agent, to the person. So koach ha-mashicha, the gravity, the koach ha-even me'atzmo, that fails on the first account. It's not something which resembles koach ha-mashicha, it's not something which resembles koach adam. And then the koach ha-ari fails for, you know, on the second account. It's just not a koach. The Ari is responsible for it, not the person. I honestly don't understand this Ron. Does anybody else have any idea here? I mean, I don't understand what the Ron is thinking or Rabbi Nadavid is saying. I'm not sure. Is there some argument to be made that if you hold that it's a necessary condition, then it also has to, it somehow should follow that it also should be a sufficient condition? Nobody else thinks? No? I don't know. Okay. So I don't know. It's a sarachian on the Ron. As I said, though, the counterintuitive part of it is something which is clearly understandable. But whether or not you have a raya from the cases of Ari against it, that I fail to see so much. So then we'll just close, I guess, with one final answer, which I didn't see in Rishonim, and this will set up for the next chabur, where we'll get to the ones that really cut to the fundamental issues of Ishim Shemachitzav. But the final answer, I think, is based on the Ramban's model of Raksa, Something the Ramban says in his explanation of why it is that Raksa is in Tzai Mishum Eshem Mishum Chitzav. I think he's saying something different than the Rashba, and I think it's something that could, in theory, be applied here, very simply. And this is the Ramban in Kudras Dinu Degarmi, where he addresses this case as well. That with the Kakashalon, it's the case of the flax, the case of Abbasar and the Chafav. Right? Because the Gemara says it's not Ozla Mikachi. It's not Ozla Mikocho. So therefore you're not Chayiv. But why is it different than Avnus Akino Maso? So he says, Shemaisa Hachim Farshe, the Chiavinazi Inu Kiyat Kidna, Kide Lahotzi Mimenu Raksa, Hayuchoptin Apishdan, Kidisha Yipo Haraksa Laris. The way what they're doing was that it should fall down. Vilu Nafla Haraksa Laris, Shubena Ruach Mziza Mimkoma. It's some physical fact that he thought was obvious or well known. So what's the answer here? I think he's saying something different than even though I think you can possibly interpret it. Is the way the Rashba understood it. I think he's saying that there's a difference between. He says at the end more explicitly, even. Yeah. He says, Aval Baraksa lo nichale de lezel, vu chove da pishdan, lahapi la raksa laaretz, varuach molicha hefech mikocho, nimsa sheena misaye balichasa elagori mula, lefilachem don levakat. It's fine. So what's he saying? So I think he's saying that there's a difference depending on how it is that the Kohacher is interacting with what it is that you're doing. In a case, and particularly, if it's acting contrary to what you're doing, so then we're not going to say Kohacher Murbo, even though it's anticipatable, even though it's predictable. Now, you could interpret that to mean, this is the thesis that Ramban develops in order to explain that case. Now, you could interpret that to mean it's a question, the function of his Kavana. After all, he does talk about Kavana a little bit there, but I think it's more likely, or at least just as likely to be, simply a question of the nature of the act. Is this an act which is an act viewed as being something which is propelling forward, in which case, if the Ruach takes part in that, we can view you as acting in concert, the Kochos acting in concert, right? Or setting it up for the Ruach to do that. So, for instance, if you put the rock or the Takala in a Rosh Agag, where it's particularly given for the Ruach to take it out, so that's almost viewed as if you're setting it up, you're lobbing up there for the Ruach to take it out. So that's working in concert with the Ruach. But if you're working hefech mimasecha, if your act by its nature is something which has a certain end, if it's left alone, and it's an end which is actually contrary to the what the Ruach actually does with it, so then it won't be chayv. So the Ramban is saying that in the case of Raksa, where by its nature, hitting the Pishtan is an act which causes the Pishtan to go fall to the floor. So that's what you're doing. You're having the thing go fall to the floor. The Ruach is coming and upending the situation. I think the principle is clear, even though the application is questionable. I mean, you can always wonder why is that viewed as hefech mimasecha and this is in concert. But if it's true, I think you could argue maybe that will be the explanation here as well. In other words, the same idea that Ramban is explicating there, namely that if it's not a question of the nature of which kochos we're talking about. It's a question of what the relationship is between what the Koach HaAcher is doing and what the Pulo which set it up is doing. If the Pulo which set it up is simply setting it up and allowing it to go forward, then fine. Then it can be viewed as acting in concert. But if it's a Pulo which has its own inertia, its own direction, and the Koach HaAcher is contravening that and taking it in the other direction, whether physically or just in some... Well, in this case, we're talking physically. So then it's not going to be Mitsura. So if that's true, you could argue in this case, that's exactly what you have. You throw it up, so your koach is something which is contributing to going up. The ruach is coming along and taking it the exact opposite direction. Or not in this case the ruach, in this case it's Meshitha, it's gravity, or the Nefila Me'atzma. So the klal is that in order for koach hacher and ruach both to be viewed as, in order to view some koach hacher as Mitzurah to the person, it has to be that there's no conflict between where the Maisa would have gone and where the Ruach is going. If it's a matter of there's no conflict, it's just there's a Hashlama in a sense, so then we can say, oh, it's complemented, we can view it as being Mitzurah, and if not, not. But if not, not. And that's what you have here. You have, in this case, you're throwing it up, Hebech mimasecha, the gravity is coming and taking you down, and therefore it's going to be not kocha murva. This is similar to what we said is apparently the chiddush according to the Rishonim that held that just allowing the fall is kocha. We said, well, apparently, the idea here is if you go, that's true if you simply allow the fall, but if it actually goes contrary to what it's doing, so then it's not going to be kocha. So we're talking about there straight kocha. It could be that that's true also of kocha murva. If you involve some other koach, it's still not going to be koach removable because it's hebek ma'asecha, again, based on the model developed by the Rambam. So we're left off now with two other answers, which are really the centerpieces of the sugya, in a sense. The answer suggested by the Ra, and the one suggested by the Ran, and also consider the end of Tosos here.